Blog Talk Radio.
Get a sound to your body, drip, drip, drip. As I kick most at the lip, lip, lip. Get a sound to your body, drip, drip, drip. As I kick most at the lip, lip, lip.
I ain't afraid to drown. If that means I'm deep up in your ocean, yeah. Girl, I'll drink you down. Sipping on your body all night. I just wanna take your legs and wrap around. Girl, you coming right now. My head to your chest, feeling your heartbeat, girl. Swimming all in your sea, and you sweating all over me. Bring it forward, don't you run, run. Don't want to be a minute man. Baby, you're just like a storm raining on me. Girl, you're soaking wet. About to get inside your mental, huh? Bring your back like it's limbo. I'ma make you feel like an info tonight. Oh, you're mine, baby girl. Oh, anytime you want it, I'm ready and willing, girl, to give it. I start to look in your body, you go to trembling. Flip it around, girl, let me get it from the side. And can I visit all those spots you like? Your neck, your back, your sexy lips, booty and thighs. I don't want to be a minute man. Baby, you're just like a storm raining on me. Girl, you're soaking wet.
Together, you can tell as soon as I approach you. When you feeling up tight, get it right. Don't fight, lighten up like Sammy Sosa. Women call me the super soaker, and I'ma soak your bed to death. How long can you hold your breath? Asthma attacking, waking up wondering what happened. Making me high like Tony Braxton. You can't deny you wanna break my back in. Two, what you wanna do? Look at you with your birthday suit, 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 suit. The forecast said it's cloudy tonight, and I'ma have your body like about to get baptized, baby. Hurricane Luther. Ain't no way you can weather this storm.
What's going on, everybody? You got your boy Fat Man up in here. It is another episode, and it is time for Pillow Talk Radio. What's poppin'? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's 5 minutes after five out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Another day where it's 100 in hell. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to everybody that's listening to us, rolling with us. You know what I'm saying? Today we're doing something that I think that needs to be done. Today we're going to do a little tribute, okay, to all of my super moms out there. You know what I'm saying? I've been hearing some stories, and I'm kind of like Santa Claus. I sit back and look at my list and check it twice, see who's being naughty or nice. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all out there being pretty naughty. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, and everything like that. And I ain't mad at you, you know what I'm saying, and everything, you know what I mean, but just seeing who's naughty or nice, you know what I'm saying, and I found some super moms, all right, so, here's to strong women. May we know them, may we be them, may we raise them, you know what I'm saying, so big shout out to my super moms that we're going to be paying homage to, of course, my co-host, G-Spot. You know what I'm saying? She is what I call a super mom. You know what I'm saying? A lot of y'all don't get to see or get to hear the stories behind the scenes on what's going on, things like that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just see us out in the street, or y'all see us at the club, and we looking nice and smelling good and everything like that, but you not knowing what's going on behind the scenes and everything. You're not knowing what's going on when we go home and, you know, we close that door, you know. And that's like a little quick story. You know, I was touring with a lot of major artists, you know what I'm saying? I was touring with, E-40, DJ Quick, things like that. When everybody was going to the hotel, I was going to sleep in my car. You know what I mean? Everything is not always what it seems. You see Facebook. Everything is not always what it seems. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to bring these super moms on here later on in the show, and we're going to get their story. Like I said, big shout out to my girl G-Spot, and big shout out to Just Say Lachey Duckworth. You know what I'm saying? She has a very extraordinary story, and I felt that she needed to be picked as a super mom and everything like that. You'd be surprised what people are doing and how people are helping, you know, to make a difference with all that's going on in the world today. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to get off the soapbox so we can get the show started. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. And if people aren't God-fearing, if you're not a God-fearing man or woman, or if you have never picked up a Bible, I think now is the time to pick up a Bible, because everything that's in that Bible is going on right now. We have race riots going on. We have war going on. We have famine going on. People are going hungry. People are starving here in Las Vegas, Nevada, one of the richest towns in the world. You know what I'm saying? We have earthquakes. Big shout out to everybody that's out there in the Bay Area. They had an earthquake this morning. You know what I'm saying? It tore up streets, fucked up a lot of shit and everything. So big shout out to everybody that's out there in Cali. Y'all be careful. You know what I'm saying? Fat Man and G-Spot and Lauren Cakes, we got a lot of love for y'all out there. You know what I mean? And we want y'all to be safe. But if you guys aren't paying attention to your Bible right now, then you're not paying attention to life. You know what I'm saying? Well, listen, let me bring in one of the hottest, baddest motherfucking BBWs out here on the motherfucking West Coast. You know what I'm saying? Let me introduce my co-host, Miss G-Spot, and everything. What's going on, sweetie? You in the building?
Hi, honey. I'm here. Hey, everybody.
What's going on? What's going on? How you been doing, mommy?
I'm exhausted, physically and mentally exhausted, but I'm good. I'm alive. I'm blessed. That's all that matters.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you've had a busy week and everything. You've been moving and all of that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know, I ain't stopped promoting.
Right.
Let's see. I've been working a lot of hours in the office in my normal life job. And just trying to get these kids back to school, you know, just dealing with a lot of stuff going on in my personal life. But, you know, like I said, I'm blessed, I'm alive, I'm healthy, my kids are happy and healthy, and that's all that matters.
That's exactly, that is all that matters and everything. It And did your mom, how's your mom doing? I know we was talking about your mom today and everything like that. And your mom and my mom are two stubborn old birds. They not going no damn where. I ain't never seen two old women tell Jesus, I ain't going. I ain't ready to go yet.
Right. I know we were talking about that there's a saying in Spanish, hierba mala nunca muere, meaning bad weeds never die. So, yeah, I think our moms are bad weeds.
What? Say that again. Say that again.
Hierba mala. Hierba mala nunca muere. The translation meaning bad weeds never die. You know, them weeds that come up to the cracks of the concrete and they just don't die. That's them. That's them right there. Our moms are them weeds.
Say that again. Say that again real slow. Say that again real
slow. You just
want
to hear me say it real sensual. Hierba mala nunca muere.
Oh, my goodness, girl. Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, y'all, we got a wonderful show planned for y'all today, you know what I mean? And I know me and G-Spot was talking earlier about our mothers and stuff, you know. G-Spot's mother, she's doing well and stuff. I know G-Spot was telling me, like, you know, it was a couple of times, you know, she kind of thought that she was going to have to, you know, help her mom and figure, you know, she was about to cross over, you know. And she said her mother was looking at her
right.
Talking about, I'm not going.
You know, it was funny because she was. I mean, my mother's a devout Catholic, you know, that she prays her rosary every day, you know, and she was the one that went to church every Sunday and then groups on Thursdays, you know, typical Hispanic Catholic mother. So, yeah, I mean, and she's the first one whenever anybody's been sick in the hospital or, you know, on death's doorstep, go call a priest. Hurry up, call a priest because they got to come and give her last rites or whatever.
Right.
And so when my mom was, like, really close to death, a couple of times I'm like, Mom, you want me to call a priest? She's like, nope. I'm like, whoa, okay. You were quick to answer. She's like, nope, I ain't ready. I'm like, wow. Because, I mean, the tradition or the custom is you call a priest, they come and they anoint your forehead with oil and pray over you that, you know, if it is your time, either, you know, you have a easy crossing over or, you know, you're healed and it's a miracle, you know. So, you know, she just didn't want to have nothing to do. I was like, whoa, this coming from the person who, you know, got mad at the world because I decided to be a Christian and not a Catholic. Yeah.
Wow.
That's
something. That's something. I know
right
I talked
there.
To my mom. I talked to my mom recently. She's doing much better. They're getting her meds and everything adjusted and everything. So she is feeling great. She's feeling wonderful, laughing, talking. You know what I'm saying? Cussing people out and stuff like that there, the stuff that she does well and everything, you know what I'm saying? So it is a blessing to make sure that our moms are good. Like we tell you guys, make sure you keep in touch with your parents. You never know what your parents might be going through. They're trying to be strong and be tough because they don't want to interrupt our lives. They don't want to interrupt your life. They don't want you to put down things and come and help them and things like that there. But make sure you call your parents. Call your mother and your father if you're fortunate enough to still have them here on this earth. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you call them and see how they're doing and everything. I know I do. I know Gina does. You know what I mean? And if we can do it, you can too. You know, it's only a phone call is only 60 seconds, not even that long. It's more like 10, 20 seconds just to say hello, how you doing, and say the other, I'm thinking about you, I love you. That doesn't take a lot. That doesn't take rocket science to do that. So, you know, big shout out to all the moms. Like I said, we're going to get into these super moms and everything. So big shout out to Gina because I believe she is a super mom, okay? All right, if I see those numbers, babe, I will make sure that I pick it up and everything. You know what I'm saying? So big shout-out to everybody that's calling in right now. I see numbers. Well, of course, I see Lauren Cakes on the line and this, that, and the other. We got a number, area code 602 in the building. Then we got an area code 518 definitely in the building. You know what I'm saying? So we doing it real big today, y'all. Tonight's topic it's something that I keep telling y'all, me and G-Spot, we come up with these topics basically kind of on Sunday mornings. I called her this morning, and she was like, hello. And I was like, Gina, I know this is the wrong time. You got a topic. No. But then she went, thirsty or just too friendly. And I went, what the hell? And she was like, no. She was like, I got a reason, and this and the other. This is what people, you know. And big shout out to all the people that see Gina out, you know, when she's out networking and promoting and things like that. And y'all come up to her, and y'all honestly come up to her and give her topics to talk about. Way to go. That's what we're talking about, getting involved. You get involved with this radio show. This radio show is to squash a lot of myths, squash a lot of bullshit, and bring things to light. You know what I'm saying? So tonight's topic is, or tonight's topics are, thirsty or just too friendly. I know everybody knows somebody like this, especially if you've been fucking around on Facebook and shit like that there. And then our second topic tonight is supermoms, all right? We're going to pay homage to a couple of supermoms that I feel that goes above and beyond the call of duty. Of course, we all know our own mothers. I think my mother is a supermom. Of course, Gina's mom is a supermom because they raised us, and they raised us to be the people that we are today. But it's just a few things and some things that I've been hearing lately that puts these two supermoms in a category by themselves. And, yes, one of them is my co-host, G-Spot. You know what I'm saying? You guys don't know what she does after this radio show. You guys don't know the type of work that she puts in after she's done promoting. You guys figure when she leaves the club from promoting 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, y'all figure sometimes she goes home and goes straight to bed. No, she doesn't. Sometimes she's up all night. Sometimes she's doing a lot. Sometimes she's doing more than she needs to be doing in helping others. Because when it all boils down to it, sometimes she helps more people than people help her. So tonight, me, I'm going to pay homage to my good friend that I think deserves this, two people that I think deserve this, because I deal with these people and I talk to them on a regular basis. And once we get into this, you'll understand what we're talking about. So listen, we're going to pay some bills, and then we're going to be right back. And you guys tell me, thirsty or just too damn friendly? You know what I'm saying? All right. So we're going to get into a little Gerald LaVert and Baby Hold On to Me. If y'all got any questions, answers, comments, hit us up, 347-884-8810. That's 347-884-8810. Y'all call and tell a friend. Tell them that Pillow Talk Radio is definitely on the air.
Yeah.
Why you got to put it all up on here? We don't want to see all that shit. You're looking a little thirsty.
Right.
Me personally, I mean, you know, because I used to model and because I'm out and about in the BBW community and whatnot, I have a few admirers and, you know, everything's, you know, it's all good. You know, I don't really ever have anything negative to say about anybody who hits me up. I get hit up a lot in my inbox. And I try to at least reply back, you know, have a blessed day, you know, thank you for the comments, you know, they'll say, you know, you're pretty, you're this, you're that, you know, I'd like to get to know you well, you know, if I'm, you know, I work a lot, I have my kids, I have my priorities, and I'm sorry I don't have a lot of time, but, you know, I'm just letting you know that I am responding back to you. I don't want to ignore you, I don't want to be rude, thank you for your comments, thank you for your compliments, I'm flattered, you know, you're very sweet, I hope you have a great day, you know, at least I try to, you know, always answer back people. I mean, in the last year, I've had probably about 10 to 15 different marriage proposals, and it's, you know, it's funny, but
I got a marriage proposal.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was. I couldn't pronounce her name, but, you know, she was hitting me up. It's like that, you know what I'm saying? And she was like,
right.
How bad would you marry me? And I was like, what? Come on, I want to come to America and be an American woman. And okay, all right, I'm cool. Okay.
Want that green card?
I'm cool. Yeah, you know, she want a green card. She want a green card and a fat man burger. I'm cool. So my question to you, G Spot, is give me your definition of thirsty. Everybody has their definition of thirsty and this, that, and the other. So tonight I want to hear what your definition of thirsty is.
You know, there's a difference between somebody who's just friendly and then there's a person who's thirsty. A thirsty one to me is, you know, as soon as they see you on Facebook, they're like watching to see if you're on. They watch for that little light to come on that you're on, and they hit you up within seconds. And it's like, hi, what are you doing? How are you? Can we talk? Here's my number. Can you text me? Can you call me? I want to take you out. I want to do it. And they just, like, start going off. And it's like every, like, 2 seconds is a new message. I'm sorry. Whoa, slow down.
Right.
Slow your roll.
Right.
Yeah, that's thirsty. To me, that's thirsty. You know, if a girl's interested, she's going to reply. She'll be polite about it. And then you can take it from there. But if you just come at her, you know, like that, just, you know, here's my number, text me, call me, you know, why won't you respond to me, and like, on you, as soon as you get onto Facebook, they're like, on you, like flies, it's like, whoa, they don't even give you a second to even click on your own profile when you already got message pulling up, it's crazy, that to me is thirsty.
Okay.
And if you tell the guy, it's nice to meet you, I'm sorry, I won't call you or I won't text you, you know, maybe later on in the future after I get to know you a little bit, but if he's you know, persistent and he's just on it, that's thirsty. You know, I've even had guys that I meet on Facebook and they wind up showing up at an event that I didn't invite them to. Of course, it's a public event, but they show up and they assume that they're there to meet me, I guess, and they'll come over and just, like, hang around, and I don't know them, you know what I mean? It's kind of creepy. So that, to me, is thirsty. Too friendly. Some guys are too friendly where they come off, you know, first thing is, hey, sexy, you're so beautiful, and I would, you know, I love all your pictures, and then they'll sit there and like all your pictures, and you know, that's fine. That's great. That's flattering. That's an ego booster. It's great, you know. Sometimes they get a little too friendly where they want to start sending you dick pictures and they want to see, you know, personal stuff. And it's like, come on now, you know.
Once again with the dick pics. I mean, is there nowhere safe from dick pics? I mean, come on, fellas. I mean, this is like, fellas, I hear this from women all the time. Fellas, why are y'all so anxious to send a picture of your dick? What is up with that? I mean,
I think a lot of guys think that if they show it to you, that you're automatically going to say, oh, my God, it's enormous, it's huge, I want that, I need that, my pussy is ripe and ready to go. It's like, no, that is like the furthest thing from our mind. And I will tell you honestly, if you send a girl your picture of your dick. I guarantee you, I promise you, boo-boo, it's going to be shown to other women.
Right, and they're going to talk about that.
90% of the time, exactly, exactly. They're going to say, this fool sent me a picture of his dick. Look at this thing, pinky dick,
hey,
or something, you know?
Fellas, look here. Fellas, let me give y'all a little insight on the LVPPW when they get together and this, that, and the other. I've been to a couple of events when the LVPPWs get together. Check this out. It's cigarettes, phones, drinks, hors d'oeuvres. They get a special booth where the booth curves, and they all of them squeeze their ass in them booths and this, that, and the other. They be ass for days in that damn booth and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to Paula. Big shout out to Paula and this, that, and the other. Paula got a little ass.
And Debbie
got a wide ass too and this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? And everything like that. You know? And they be all in this booth. Fellas, do you know what they're doing? They are sitting there. One of them, just like she said, one of them will be like, this motherfucker done sent me a dick pic. And they be like, girl, for real? She will pass her phone around the table. And they will judge. And they will talk about your ass. First, they're going to talk about your ass because you're thirsty and you sent the dick pic while they were up in the club drinking. Wrong time to send a dick pic, player.
and
everything.
That is so funny that you just said that, because I have had that. Me and Paula both have had that shit happen. The dude that we're talking to knows we're at the club. Knows we are with the girls at the club. And no matter that we are there, they will send that fucking dick pic.
Yeah.
They will send their junk on that fucking text message.
I don't get it.
It's like they know, they have to know that we're going to show each other. And the thing of it is, like, Vegas is so small, so this is funny.
Right.
Me and have run into this a lot. Whenever we meet a new guy, like on Facebook or tag, whatever, the first thing we do, okay, I'm sending you a picture, and she'll text it to me or I'll text it to her. Because 9 times out of 10, the guy has hit us both up with the same fucking messages. So now it's gotten to the point where we can't talk to guys right off the bat. We have to check with our girl first, because 9 times out of 10, he's been hitting her up too. Yeah, it's been like that lately. It's crazy.
Fellas, listen to her, because you don't know. See, this is what she's saying. Yes, Vegas is very small. Vegas goes in a complete circle, all right? You talk to these people, you meeting these women in Vegas and this, that, and the other and everything, and they playing the role, and they sitting back and they going, yeah, I hear you, and everything. While we're sitting there talking and, yeah, we're typing, yeah, baby, I want to get to know you and this, that, and the other, somebody like Gina done hit up 3-4 of her friends already. She done screenshot your ass the whole nine and shit like that there. That shit is circulating through the LBPPW circulation box. Just to see if, damn, I know him too, or damn, I didn't let him too, or damn, I met him, he said the same thing to me that he said to you. Fellas, this is what I'm talking about. Step your game up and shit like that there. You know what I'm saying? You can't say the same thing to every damn woman, because they're going to start comparing notes. And then when they start comparing notes, that ain't going to do nothing but make you look worse than you already do. You done already sent the dick pic, but if you're sending her and Paula and you saying, good morning, sweetie, how you doing? And you send Paula the same shit, good morning, sweetie, how you doing? Come on, fellas, let's be more original, because
these women
are looking at, like you said, too friendly. Okay, so does that go in the too friendly box, or are we still thirsty?
No, that right there is thirsty, because if you're hitting me up, and you know damn well, you've been on my Facebook, and 9 times out of 10, you will see pictures of Paula, Susan,
yeah.
Debbie,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Roxanne, and you'll see all my girls
right.
in those pictures. That never fails. Yeah. Or you go on LBPPW, look at the pictures, you will see pictures of the group. And
right.
these mofos will hit me up, and then send the same damn message to Paula, send the same damn message to Susan, send the same message to Debbie, and think that they're going to, like, maybe they're going to get a shot with one of us. You know what I mean? They're like, they're just shooting in the air, seeing which one's going to fall. It's like, no, really? No, that right there is thirsty, because if you're doing that to all my friends, I ain't gonna talk to you.
Right.
I am not gonna talk to you.
Right.
I just texted you a picture. Roxanne sent me a picture of all of us sitting in a damn booth. I think I took the picture.
Uh-huh.
Everybody sitting in the booth.
That's how it went down at the mixer. At the mixer, they was all sitting in the booth, and it was like, you know, everybody started pulling out. Everybody started pulling out their phones, and this and the other phones started going dead. We had to get chargers and shit, and this and the other, and everything. It's very fun hanging out with the LVPPWs because you never know what may happen. You never know what might be said or anything. You never know who's gonna show up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So funny.
You said something so funny that Vegas is so small. But you know what?
Yeah.
Me and Paula have run into the same guys on our pages from California, Arizona.
Wow.
So, no, it's not just Vegas guys. It's Arizona guys and Cali guys hitting us up at the same time. Yeah, it's crazy. Because the BBW community is so small. You know what I mean? I mean, it's big, but it's small. So,
small.
It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what goes in the just too friendly category? What type of man is just too friendly? Or what type of woman is just too friendly?
I think that the ones that, you know, they're respectful, you know, they don't go overboard, but yet they're constantly, you know, there. You know what I mean? They're constantly in your face. They're constantly, you know, admiring you from afar. They don't get really, like, crazy with their comments or anything like that. I mean, they're friendly. Some of them be a little too friendly. You know, that they're like waiting for you to come off and they hit you up right away and, hi, how you doing? And I hope you're having a great day. And how was your day? And they just want to conversation.
You know what? I hear what you're saying on that because I get put in, and if anybody out there listening, please stop putting me in these secret-ass groups and this, that, and the other. Look here, I like to touch and feel the pussy and shit like that there. I want to touch and feel some shit. I don't want to look at it on Facebook and shit like that there. You know what I'm saying? I go to my damn page. It's a big-ass pussy. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, good morning. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And everything like that.
In your timeline, right?
Yeah,
in your timeline, you get
these
pictures of pussies and
dicks
and boobs and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and you know what? I stopped deleting myself because I would get added to these texts all the time. I stopped deleting myself. This is what you do, fat man. Stop deleting yourself. And what you do is every week when we do our show, you bombard their fucking page with our show.
Right. Well, that's what I've been doing.
You bombard their fucking pages with our events. That's what you
exactly.
do. Because that
that's
way you get your ass kicked out of it and they won't ask you back.
Right. That's what I've been doing. It's like, okay, well, then you're going to listen to, you know, that's kind of like being submissive. That's like, hey, you gonna take this dick and shit. You gonna take this radio show and shit like that. There, whether you like it or not. You know, big shout out to Debbie. Big shout out to Debbie because she like it. Every fucking thing. Talk about how many fat girls can you get in this booth? You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to my girl Deb. She just had a birthday and everything. You know what I mean and stuff like that. I've seen the picture she posts with her and Snoop Dogg and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But this is what I was trying to say. I understand. I feel where you're coming from because it's like people are starting to live on Facebook. Facebook needs to start renting out apartments and shit like that there because it's like people sit on Facebook in these secret groups and this, that, and the other. Oh, yeah, big shout out to Cat Love. She's chiming in too. They're in these groups, this, that, and the other. And, I mean, they sit on these groups and sit on Facebook and post stuff all day. I had to ask somebody, are you getting paid to do this? They was like, no, I'm at work. You're at work and you're posting on Facebook? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People, check this out. A woman, which one of the supermoms is going to tell you, court systems and everything are looking at your Facebook pages these days.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Facebook is getting people football jerseys like jail time. Why? Because they didn't went on your Facebook page. So all you cats that want to post up your weed, want to post up you holding a gun and shotguns and shit and all of that, that's the tackiest shit that I've ever seen because I talked to a well-known gangster back in my day, all right? And he told me, real motherfuckers move in silence. You don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You stop running your mouth. You know what I'm saying? You be seen and not heard. Speak when spoken to. But you got so many people posting up their life on these timelines and everything like that, and you want to go get a pound of weed and you want to put it on the timeline. This is my current situation and everything like that. Or when you out drinking and y'all got a table full of empty bottles and drinks, you want to say, this is my current situation. Yeah, well, your current employer is looking at your current situation. Your current employer that you just put that application into is looking at your current situation. You know what I'm saying? Stop. Use more than your head for just a hat rack, people. You know what I mean? And you wonder why all this is going on around the world and can't nobody find a job and this and the other. Probably because they didn't look at your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so true. It's so true.
Everything, you know?
Yep,
so
I try so hard not to vent on my Facebook page. I really do.
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot of restraint because anybody that really knows me knows how bad I can. I have no filter on my mouth. I can go off. And
right. So
it takes every ounce of me not to blow up and not to talk shit on my page because, trust me, if I went off on my page and said everything I needed to say and everything I felt,
It wouldn't be nothing nice at all.
This morning I had dudes and some chick on my group. She posted some. Now you know I keep my group kind of modest. I mean, not, you know, it's PG-13. I really try because there's enough sex groups out there. There's enough adult, you know, oriented groups out there. So we try and maintain LBPPW for all ages and all walks of life. So this girl posted up some pictures, and out of the four pictures she posted, one of them was a little suggestive. Looked like she had, I mean, you couldn't see her nipples or anything. All you could see was her cleavage, and it looked like she had something tied around them. You know what I mean? And it was pretty suggestive, and I always said was, can we, all the pictures are fine except for number four, let's keep it tame. You know what I mean? She's like, and she asked me, she's like, would you like for me to remove it? And I'm like, no, you're fine. I'm just letting you know, don't go overboard. And so these dudes come on there and saying, oh, well, she's just fucking jealous and this and that. I'm like, nah, homie, you really don't know who I am. I am not jealous. Trust that. I'm keeping it 100. I am not jealous of no bitch.
Right.
I don't give a fuck who she is. I ain't jealous.
Right.
I know who I am. I know what I'm capable of. I know my place. I am not jealous.
Right.
And I ain't thirsty either, so there you go.
Right.
So I had to get into a war of words with these people, and finally I think Paula or Debbie deleted them and blocked them off the page. But, yeah, it wasn't pretty. It was not pretty.
Crazy.
I tried so hard to be good.
But listen, you guys, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be back with Lauren Cakes, and we are going to get into her segment, the entertainment segment, and this and the other, because I know she had a birthday last weekend. She wasn't here. So I know she's got a lot to talk about, you know, and a lot to say about what's going on in entertainment, because there's a lot going on in entertainment, and a lot of entertainers are heading to Ferguson. So I'm pretty sure Lauren has a lot to say. And then we'll be into our Supermom segment just before we get up out of here, y'all. You're listening to Fat Man and G-Spot Pillow Talk Radio, y'all, live from Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be right back.
Snapbacks and tattoos, snapbacks and tattoos, nice whip, fly chick, all that, cause cash rules. Snapbacks and tattoos, snapbacks and tattoos, nice whip, fly chick, all that, cause cash rules. Show off your hat, show off your tats. Show off your arms, legs, chest, show off your back. Snapbacks and tattoos, snapbacks and tattoos. Nice whip, fly chick,
all that is casual.
Okay, now snapbacks and tattoos. Rap fact, I'm that dude. My backpack got cash that I make an ass clap like tattoo. I'm international, y'all niggas bad new. I pass through, fresh to death, you now into swag school. Ladies holding kisses, swagger coding sickness team. Dricky tatted on them cause they ass is so ridiculous.
paparazzi, man, they can't control the pictures. New MOB set, screaming money over bitches. My clothing tats, they all custom though. Something that you ain't custom to. Don't come back with a hustle bow. Hold the hat, they adjustable. This is for my ladies and my fellas getting gravy with your bodies marked up like a train back in the 80s. I been through the test, now I'm inking my chest, trying to triple my chest. I spit through the rest, blind to make you a nest, blind to fit you the best. From NY to LA, North Cadillac to Baton Rouge, all across the latitude, everybody rocking them.
Snapbacks and tattoos, snapbacks and tattoos, nice whips, fly chick, all that, cause cash rules. Snapbacks and tattoos, snapbacks and tattoos, nice whips, fly chick, all that, cause cash rules. Show off your hat, show off your chest, show off your arms, legs, chest, show off your back. Snapbacks and tattoos, snapbacks and tattoos, nice whips, fly chick,
all that,
in my hood they wear them snapbacks and tattoos. Clack, clack, and
You know, you got a fat man and cheese fried up in here. You know what I'm saying? The topic today was thirsty or just too friendly. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, G-Spot gave us a couple of examples of what the fuck is being thirsty and what the hell is being too damn friendly. You know what I'm saying? So right now we're going to get into our entertainment segment, and we have the lovely and gorgeous Miss Lauren Cakes on the air and everything. Lauren, you there, babe? You there, Lauren?
Hello?
Okay. Maybe she's not.
Lauren?
Maybe she's not. Okay. What is her number? Maybe I'm clicking the wrong damn number. What is her area code?
Let me see.
What is her area code?
You caught me off guard. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Well, we're going to keep it pushing in this and the other. You know what I'm saying? I hit the number. I thought her number was 310 area code, and it said, maybe I was wrong. Sorry.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep it pushing. Huh?
Isn't she 516? No, she's 317.
It's what?
317.
317.
Three.
No, I don't have a 317. Don't have a 317 in here, and everything. Huh. I know, sweetie. I know you called. You're on the line. Lachey, just chill and everything. We got you, sweetie. Don't even trip. We got you and everything like that. So you know what I'm saying. Listen. This is the segment that I was talking about and everything like that, and like I said, you know, big shout out to Lauren. I guess we'll do something real quick. If you all don't know, Suge Knight got shot 6 times last night and everything. You know what I'm saying? I was fucking around. He called me. I told him, man, don't go. But he went anyway and everything. And you know, he took 6 bullets to the ass, like he was 50 Cent or some damn body. I mean, damn, I was like, damn, he took them bullets like a champ and shit, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So, you know, when a motherfucker can take 6 shots to the ass like that and just get up and walk away, that's a real motherfucker right there, you know what I'm saying? So,
see, that's,
y'all
that's
better watch out for people.
That's the good thing about a guy having an ass. Enough meat to hold back the bullets.
Right, you know what I'm saying? That's a good, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, y'all be careful, because there's a lot going on in the entertainment business. You know, a lot of people are heading to Ferguson, you know what I'm saying, to go out and help. You know, a lot of entertainers are voicing about what's going on in Ferguson. You know, damn it, here we go again. Another pussy shot right on my fucking face. Anyway, you know, damn, I just popped the fuck up like being, you know what I'm saying? You know. So, you know, I know people got, you know, want to express what's going on and how they feel and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? But everybody, you know, we all got to live here. We all got to love each other. We need to love each other and things like that. We need to quit tripping, you know what I'm saying? Because you never know. Once you look down your family tree, you never know what color you might be or what color you might have in you. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
everything. So, you know what I mean? So you guys need to be careful and stuff. And watch what you say to people. Watch who you're talking to, because you never know who you may be talking to. Now, this segment is
exactly.
a segment of mine.
Wait a minute. We got more local entertainment stuff.
Okay.
Legacy Royale just dropped a new single. It's called Fuck You All the Time. So you guys can definitely get that
really?
On Reverb Nation. So definitely
really?
Hit up Legacy Ortega on Facebook or look him up on Reverb Legacy Royale. And then also LBPPW is supporting and helping out with a event that I think you're going to be involved in on October 3rd with D. Jones and Yaya. So
right,
maybe
right.
you want to expound on that one for a little bit. I know it's going to be held over at the Las Vegas
LBA.
Country Saloon downtown on Fremont
right.
Street on October 3rd. It's the pre-party to the Hemp Fest, right?
Right, right. The Kohee brothers, you know what I'm saying, coming to town. We got a lot of stuff going on September 3rd. You know, Area 702, Skull Family Records, One Blunt Radio, Unsigned Hype Radio. You know, we're going to be at the Smoke One Sun, all right, Hemp Fest, going down 425 Fremont Street, Las Vegas, Nevada. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have Devin the Dude in the building. He's going to be live on stage. We got Pony Boy, Mr. Black, Hydro, which is one of the local artists out here in Las Vegas, Nevada, that's doing his thing, Mr. C. Knight, Dub Shack, and, of course, BG Knockout from Ruthless Records. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have the Duct Tape Gang. And boy, these are some damn names, boy, I swear. The Duct Tape Gang.
Definitely come
All
out.
Right.
Definitely come out and bring your camera, because there will be special invited guests that
exactly.
are going to be VIP, so you definitely want to come out and check it out, because you never know who you might see out there. Just saying.
Right.
Just saying. Not that I know anything, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely you want to get out there and enjoy the pre-show.
Also, Unsigned Hype will be doing a live remote from Fremont Street and everything like that. You know, Unsigned Hype is doing a deal with what the hell is it? The Heart Attack Grill. Big shout out to the West Coast Fat Boys. About to do a deal with Heart Attack Grill to perform in front of the building right there on Fremont Street and push hamburgers and everything. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Fat Boys do. You know what I mean? So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for that. Of course, your boy Fat Man will be doing a lot of stuff. We got a lot of things going on. Cooking with Fat will resume September the 8th, new location, new kitchen, new recipes. We're fighting diabetes on the next episodes of Cooking with Fat, because I'm dealing with a lot of people that's dealing with diabetes right now. You know what I'm saying? A good friend of mine, Latisse Jackson, is going through some diabetic problems right now with her eyes and things like that. And people need to realize that diabetes is nothing to play with. You can wake up blind, people lose limbs, people lose feet, all of that. This is the reason why you need to keep your feet groomed and pedicured and things like that. Diabetes starts in the feet, all right? So, you know, big shout out to her, you know what I'm saying, and everything. So this is what we're going to be doing. So I'm going to be making some heart healthy foods, things like that. Of course, you guys will be able to track me and my weight loss and things like that. So I'm very excited. Very excited tomorrow. My daughter starts school. So big shout out to Victoria. She starts
Yay!
School tomorrow. And everything. So I'm going to be a proud dad first thing in the morning, doing my filming and taking pictures and all of that good stuff like that there. You know what I mean? So like I said, if you guys want
to
be a part of what's going on,
I'm gonna be rolling up to the school.
And
say, tuck
and
roll, motherfuckers. Bye.
So you better jump out here and everything. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I'm gonna walk her up into the school and everything, so I can film and take pictures and wave goodbye and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a very, very, very proud father. You know what I mean? So I've been waiting for this day. I've been praying for this day, and this day is finally here. So I'm going to embrace it and be glad in it. You know what I mean? So other than that, like I said, you know, we're getting down to the last of the show and everything. This is something that I've been wanting to do. We're going to pay homage right now to two super moms that I feel that need to get recognition and things like that. I'm going to bring in one of the super moms right now. I'm going to bring her in. I got Miss Lachey Duckworth on the phone. You guys can find her on Facebook. Hit her up. She don't need no dick pics, but hit her up. And then said the other because she's a super mom. She's a super mom and everything. You know what I'm saying? So, fellas, we talking about super moms. We not talking about super fucking or nothing like that. It's a super mom.
Right.
All right? So
right.
She's one of the people that I felt that was had an interesting story about how she became a super mom. Hi, Lachey.
Hello.
How are you,
hi,
sweetie?
Lachey. Hi, honey. How are you, D-Spot?
I'm good.
Glad to have you on the show.
Yes. So, Lachey is one of my friends on Facebook. Of course, she knows I find her very attractive, things like that there. She knows that. And, but she told me a very interesting story the other day on how she was, I deemed her a supermom. She just looked at it as she's helping, doing what she's supposed to do and things like that. But once you hear her story, maybe you may think differently. Go ahead, sweetie.
Hello. Hi. My name is Lachey. I am a supermom. No, thank you. Because I have a dad recently, well, 3 years ago, went to jail, and I didn't really know her by her government name. I knew her by a nickname, which is one thing I do feel very important for someone to actually know your real name. I say this because she called me from jail, and she stated to me, asked me, can I do her a favor? And I said, yes. I replied, yes. She says, go to my car for me. I'm in jail. I said, what did you do? She didn't get into stipulations, or she didn't get further into it. She basically just asked me, could you just go get my car for me? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. All right, cool, you know. I get to the car. Her children are in the car. I retrieve the key from where she told me to get it from, and at this point I'm thoroughly confused because I was like, well, why are the kids in the back seat? And so I later got a call from her again from Global Telling, and she responded to me that she messed up, she did something stupid, and she asked me, could I take care of her children? And at first, I was like, I was in real shock. I have children of my own. You know, what do you mean take care of your children? What did you do? Why were they in the car? I had so many questions, but I didn't want to aggravate the situation that she was already in. It was 3 years ago. Since then, I have been taking care of these two little girls, and I've been looking at them as my own. She was sentenced to 39 years without the possibility of parole for murder. She killed her husband and the girl that he was there with. The sad part about it is, because I've been thinking about it recently, I don't know this woman's name, don't know much about her. I just know her by Spicy, you know, and that's it. I don't know anything that could let me know too much about her. I tried to write her back at one of the booking numbers or so on and so forth that was sent to me, and the letter got sent back to me. It's not her information. So I kind of felt like at one point she didn't want to be found, you know. At first she was keeping in good contact with me. I was putting money on her book so she could talk to me and I update her on what's going on because I didn't know that she was going to try to fight the case that she had. So, yeah, I have
basically what you're saying is you've taken in three kids, mother has 39 years in prison, and you've had these kids for 3 years, and you've treating them and taking care of them as if they were your own.
Yes, I have to, because if I don't do it, who else is going to do it? I thought about, you know, calling the system, calling the cops, but she begged me not to. She told me, don't let the cops know that the children were there when she committed this crime. That's understandable. You know, okay, I get that. You know, she knows how strongly I felt about foster care also. I myself was a foster child, and I felt as if, you know, I was treated very bad in my foster home. Now, I do admit there are some good foster homes, but I don't want to take the chance. And so, I have been taking on these children as if they were mine. they don't know anything about the situation with their mom. They're really young, you know, 3 and 4 years old, almost five. And when I got these babies, they were babies, infants, you know, and 11 months apart or so. It's funny because I sit back sometimes and I wonder to myself, how am I supposed to feed these kids? You know, this is two extra mouths. You know, I get a certain amount of money every month for my own children. You know, I work here and there when I can, but it's hard. It is very, very hard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I know you don't get any. I mean, Gina, you got anything to say?
Yeah. I just have a quick question. So you, how long has it been now that you've been caring for these kids?
3 years.
3 years. And
yes,
you've been doing it all on your own without putting them in the system, because I'm assuming that they are not, you're not their legal guardian because they haven't gone through the system. Or have you gone through the system at all?
No, I've only inquired about it. I've gone downtown to Stanley Moss Courthouse to inquire about obtaining guardianship. However, I would need the mother's actual name. And since the mother decided that she was not going to contact me anymore, you know, I don't know this woman's name. And I wondered to myself,
how do you register? How do you register them for school and stuff? Because you need their birth certificate, right?
You're absolutely right. And I was faced with that same question probably last night. And you know what? I don't know. I just take it day by day because I don't know. You know, I don't know. All I know is that these children wake up, they're hungry. I've been homeschooling them somewhat, like preschoolish kind of things, and teaching them how to write their name, their colors, you know, their name, their colors, and things like that, little small words. But I do the best I can. And at this point, I don't know what to do, you know, but I figured, well, mom's not going to be out for another, I don't know, 36 years. She's got 36 years, 37 years left. By the time she gets out, them children will be almost 40, and she will be possibly deceased, you know. So I don't know. I don't know what to do a lot of times, but I don't hold that against the children. I love those kids as if they were mine. Matter of fact, I call them my children because they call me mama.
Mm-hmm. That's really crazy. Well, I really, really hope that you can find somebody within the system that can help you so that way you can get your parental rights established, you know, get guardianship of the kids, you know, and do it all through legal channels so that way you can get them registered for school so you can get some type of assistance to help, you know, raise them and take care of them. Because I'm assuming it must be really, really hard if you have your own kids and your own family you got to deal with and then take on the responsibility of somebody else's children. I mean, that's a lot of mouths to feed, and that's a big responsibility. You have clothing, shoes, and, you know, medicines if they get sick or whatever, and God forbid they do get sick, how are you going to get medical insurance for them if you're not legally their guardian? You know what I mean? You don't have their birth certificate. You don't have all that information. How can you get insurance for them? I mean, that's stuff that is crazy. God forbid one of them gets sick or something. So, yeah, I can imagine the stress that you must be going through.
Oh, yeah. It's really stressful. Luckily, I have a friend that has been helping me out with the immunizations and things like that. They have been immunized. You know, they do have the immunizations. However, the biggest dilemma that I do have, not knowing their last name. Now, I was someone spoke told me last night as I was telling them, you know, and they know what's going on with me, and she's really close to me. She said, you know what, hey, why don't you go back to the last apartment where she resided at and ask the landlord for the information for this, you know, for this apartment? And I never thought about that. All I know is that this woman called me, asked me, can I do her a favor? She said, I know, you know, I love you, right? And I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm like, yeah. You about to ask me about the money? You know? And so I felt like this is one of the biggest things that, you know, my higher power could put me to test for. You know, because if I wasn't here, and this woman doesn't have anybody. Her mother's dead. Her father's dead. She killed the father of her children. So it's like, who do I release these children to? Now, since I had been her friend, I remember I had one friend that was also her friend, and that's the good thing about Facebook, unlike the thirsty things we were talking about earlier. But, you know, is, you know, when you actually apply your family to your Facebook and you let it be known that this is my sister, this is my auntie, this is my cousin, this is my mother, my father, you can actually go to that person if you need them. Well, the girl actually called her to let her know that her husband was at the house is his god sister. And I didn't think about that. And, you know, this got brought to me yesterday. So first thing in the morning, I'm going to jump to it and try to see if I can track them down and also go back to her old apartment and see if they can give me any information on her real government name so I can figure out what I could possibly do with these children.
Right. You're going to be blessed because you have stepped up and you've taken care of them and done the best you can for them. I just, you know, I really pray that you, you know, help, you know, get the help that you need to continue to take care of them if that's what you decide to do, you know, because now you're looking at his family. What if his family's looking for the kids? You know what I mean? What if his family wants custody of the kids? But now you might have that battle on your hands and having to go them and all that stuff. So it's going to be a tough road ahead. So, yeah, definitely we will be praying for you.
Yeah. And I really don't have a problem with that because I do have a letter, you know, and I have a letter from the mom, you know, under this alias that she called herself going up, but I knew who it was because she said, hey, this is spicy and you know, whatever the case would be. So when in the letter, it also states about the children, the situation and whatever is going on that she agreed to. So if the family does decide that they want to, you know, kind of get upset at me, I'm like, okay, well, wait. I've been looking for you guys. I didn't know what to do. You know, all I did was just, okay, suck it up and just get in the second gear and just drive, you know. I just felt the need to just take on the responsibility. Because I'm like, what else am I supposed to, you know, what do you do when you're faced with a situation where someone says, look, girl, do me a favor. Just take care of my kids. I know to take care of yours. Do for mine if you would for yours. You know, and that's what I think.
And you know what's weird is I wonder if the kids aren't on some type of national child seeking search site. Children, because I mean, his family must be looking for them. I mean, those are their, you know, grandchildren or, you know, their nieces and nephew or nieces and nieces, right? Two girls, you said?
The two girls, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure that they're probably on some type of national child-seeking, you know, site.
Yeah, I've been on there already, looking for their pictures, you know, looking for some kind of information of some type. You know, like I said before, I fear for them to go to a foster home. I don't want them to go to a foster home. I would rather release them to family, you know. I know that the God sister is now in Texas, and me and my friend and I, we discussed, you know, trying to get some funds together to send them off, you know, to her or whoever, someone that knows the family's background, because I don't know anything. You know, all I know is that I was buying diapers, buying milk, getting up in the middle of the night, you know, and trying to hold on to my own relationship that I did have at that time. And, you know, and people question me, well, why do you do that? You know, why not? That's my question to you. Why would you? You know, especially if you were done. Situation to where you were in foster care yourself and the foster father treated you really, really nasty, you know, did some really degrading things to you and the other foster sisters that I had, you know. Why would I?
Well, and it comes all back to it taking a village to raise a child, and you're just part of the tribesmen of that village, and you're just helping raise those children. So, yeah, you're to be commended, you know, that you stepped up and you just did what you know, God put on your heart to do, you know. So, definitely, you need to be prayed for and praised for doing it.
Exactly. I think it was a beautiful thing because there is no telling where those kids would have wound up. And if you didn't go get them, they could be in the system. They could be lost in the system to where they probably wouldn't even see each other. They wouldn't even see each other because they'd be in different foster homes. And instead, yeah, everybody that's been in the system or dealing with foster parents, foster homes, things like that, you know they usually break up the brothers and sisters, the sisters or whatever, the siblings and everything like that. They go to two different separate homes and stuff like that. And usually that's a bad thing because I believe if there are children and their brothers and sisters, they need to stay together. Because when they stay together, that means they can help each other out and help each other get through those ups and downs and these hard times and things like that. So when Lachey told me the story, it hit me, and it hit me hard because it was like, wow, okay, hell, that could have been my kids, could have been anybody's kids,
right,
or anything like that. And we need more people like her to be concerned about what's going on with our children of today. And yeah, sometimes me and her talking, you know, she has a house. It sounds like she has a playground going on in her house because everybody is this, that, and the other. But I can tell you one thing. Those kids are respectable, well mannered. They say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. They come and talk to her. They have snack time. They have movie time. The household runs like clockwork.
Yes.
And this is what I'm trying to tell everybody. The house can run like clockwork, but you never know what the mother is going through after the clock stops and everybody's gone to bed and everybody's not even thinking about it and they're sitting up at night. This is what I'm trying to get people to understand. Same thing with Gina. Gina has a story herself. It's not similar, but kind of the same. You know what I'm saying? And when she told me, she was totally exhausted when she told me her story. And I was like, how the hell, how are you even dealing with this? And she was like, fat man, all I could do is take it day by day. So, Gina, why don't you tell mm-hmm. them your story?
Well, I mean, you guys know that I've been married 4 times. The first time I ever got married, I was 17. I had been seeing my first husband from the time I was 15 until I was 17, and I basically got married to get away from my home. My mother was an alcoholic. My father was 3,000 miles away in Michigan. You know, so my parents divorced when I was in the womb still. So, I mean, you know, growing up in L.A. in gang-infested neighborhoods, you know, just experiencing life there. I mean, I was brought up by three very independent women. My mother, you know, worked when she could. She basically had no education, so she worked in sweatshops. When there wasn't work in sweatshops, she basically worked at home doing, you know, alterations or whatever she could do. And if she wasn't doing that, she was getting welfare. And so we didn't own a car. We traveled on the bus. We, you know, walked to school. We walked to store grocery stores. We carried our groceries home from the grocery store. We didn't have the luxuries of a car and whatnot. I grew up on food stamps and no child support. You know, my father didn't pay shit for child support. So, you know, it was tough growing up. So, you know, I learned a lot and I became very independent. And so, like I said, you know, I got married at 17 the first time. When I was 17, I kind of recovered a memory of being molested as a child. My own brother molested me. I went through suicide attempts. I went through, you know, even getting into dabbling a little bit into drugs and a lot of alcohol. And, you know, I had a kind of a rough, you know, adolescence and young life. But you know what? I never, ever forgot the way my grandmother always taught me, you get what you give to this world. So however you treat people is how you're going to be treated. And so, you know, within 6 months of being married the first time, my mother wound up coming to live with me. And my mother lived with me until just a few years ago when she got sick and I couldn't fit her wheelchair in my house anymore. But, you know, then she went to go live with my brother. Which is difficult in itself, being that he's my molester, and here I have to deal with him when it comes to dealing with my mom and, you know, taking care of my mom and seeing my mom and whatnot. You know, I also took care of my aunt. My aunt never married, never had children. She you know, got elderly and didn't have anybody to take care of her, so she came to live with me. So at one point in my life, I had one in diapers, one that was 6 years old, one on a walker, and one in a wheelchair. And my husband at that time, my kid's father, was working like 7 days a week and 10, 12 hours a day. So he was no help to me. So I was basically doing it all by myself. You know, grocery stores or outings or whatever, I had to load up the wheelchair, the walker, the stroller, get the diaper bag, get everybody's medication. And, you know, and this is what I had to do because that's family and that's what you do. So in the last, you know, couple of years, you know, my aunt passed. My mom went to live with my brother, so it's just been me and my boys. Well, we recently decided we were going to move, and we were moving into a bigger place. I wanted my kids to have their own room, and I wanted to have a little bit of a yard so the dogs can run around, and the kids can, because my kids are into MMA, so I wanted them to have some exercise area, gym space, whatever, whatever. I'm sitting at, and mind you, I'm already physically and mentally exhausted from planning events and working and, you know, everything that I do aside from, you know, just taking care of my kids. And I get a text at work, and it's, how are you? What are you doing? Are you at work? Can we talk? So it's a message from my stepmom. Now, mind you, when I used to go visit my dad in Michigan on my summer vacations, he would dump me off at my stepmom's house. They weren't even together anymore, but he would go dump me off there or dump me off at my grandma's or my uncle's or aunt's because he really couldn't deal with me. So my stepmother has always been, you know, a very kind and loving person to me. So when she texts me, now this is going to be round two because they were basically homeless in Michigan a few years back, and I brought them to Vegas to start a new life, her and my sister, my half-sister. She texted me, and so I called her, and I said, hey, what's going on? Is everything okay? She's like, we're about an hour from getting evicted. I'm like, what the hell? She's like, yeah. She's like, and the paralysis of my lower extremities, and I'm almost completely blind.
Wow. Wow. Man. So then what happened? Hello. You okay?
Sorry,
okay.
Did I lose you? Sorry. Did I lose you for a minute, babe. Sorry. Long story short, I just moved my stepmom and my sister into my house with my sons and the dogs and their dogs and everything else going on. So, yeah, you know, you just do what you got to do. Life goes on. You just deal with what you got to deal with. You take care of family. You do your best. You live according to the book as much as you possibly can. And, you know, that's it. That's my story.
Right. Well, my thing was to bring these stories on and to bring these two ladies on because they are extraordinary women. You know what I'm saying? Two different women, two different walks of life. Same heart. Same type of caring. Same type of love that they have for their fellow man, fellow woman. G-Spot told me one day and asked me more of a quote than a question. She said, what happened to humanity? Nobody has respect for humanity anymore. No one has respect for the little person, the person that's making that way. That's just like the what type of ant that is, the ant that works all season long, stocking up on food and this and the other. You know what I'm saying? What is it now?
It's a carpenter ant.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And they're stocking up on food and everything. You know what I'm saying? When the other ants are playing and watching and not really giving a damn and stuff like that, you always have those two mother ants that's going to take care of who, watch over the children. And it's in the end. Y'all remember back in the day, we're old school. Y'all remember back in the day, everybody in the neighborhood knew whose children was whose.
Yeah,
your neighbor,
right.
When I grew up on the East Coast, my mom gave my neighbor permission. If you see my son getting on the line, you get in his ass. That goes
right
back to what Gina just said.
Yep.
It takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
what I'm saying?
My mom's best friend was a foster mother, and she never had her own children. She had four to six different foster boys in her home, and those are the kids that I grew up with. And so she would tell, my mom would tell, you know, I would call her my foster mom because she was just my second mom, but she would tell her, if Gina gets over here and she gets out of hand, you have my permission to whip her ass and send her ass home.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely. You know, and the neighbors knew who you were, where you belonged, and where you shouldn't be. And if they saw you, they'd be calling your mom in 2 seconds. Oh, I seen Gina up the street talking to so-and-so. Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And here come your mama in that nightgown and she scrape on the ground when she walking and this, that, and the other with her hair tied up with that do-rag on. And ain't got on no bra or no panties up under that nightgown. And it's like, mama, what you doing out here? Didn't I tell you to get your ass home? Yeah, y'all, I got to go. I'll see y'all later.
Don't you
my mama,
see
the
street
lights on? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? My mama's out here, and she's in violation like it ain't shit, and you know what I'm saying, and everything. That's why you'd be like, don't come up to the school, mama. I'll come home on time. Nah, I'm going to come up to the school, and this thing, and mama want to come in a nightgown and all that shit and smelling like sulfa 8 and all of that. It's like, come on, mama, damn. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So, but I appreciate you ladies being on the show. I'm glad that you came on and told your story. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone in the world needed to hear this. Everyone needed to hear that it's okay to reach back and help somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's okay to humble yourself and have a big heart. People think, and even myself, I think having a big heart sometimes gets us in trouble because people take our kindness for weakness. And it's kind of like people get to where they expect us to do certain shit and this, that, and the other. And we're not expected to do nothing but live and die. Shit.
Yeah.
Anything else between and all this in between is extra. But as far as to take in someone, especially a grown-ass motherfucker, or take in kids and things like that and care for them as if they're as like they're your own, that's extraordinary. That's extraordinary. To go back and get your stepmom and sister after all what didn't happen, after all what didn't went down, that's a big heart. That's a heart. That's a heart you can hold a picnic in. That heart is so big. You know what I'm saying? So I thank you, ladies, for sharing your story, coming on the show. Of course, G-Spot is always here every Sunday at 5 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? Lachey, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story, sweetie. And we here at Pillow Talk Radio support you 100%, 1,000%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wish it was a way that we could start making sure, because we do food drives and things out here, start making sure that you get some food and stuff like that to help, you know what I'm saying? I've even, it's been times, hell, Gina done had to bring me a chicken every once in a while. We trade chickens and shit. She'll bring me a whole chicken, I'll give her some chicken breasts and this, that, and the other, you know what I'm saying? So that's what it's about. It's about sharing. It's about people understanding your plight and what you're going through, you know what I'm saying? I haven't taken in anybody or anything like that, but I've helped people out on the street. You know, I know I was walking during the summer. I had walked up on two bodies laying in the street. I mean, basically laying in the street on the sidewalk. People was walking over these men, wasn't even helping them, things like that. I made sure they got water. I called an ambulance, called police, made sure that they got help, stayed there with them until they got help. One guy I even prayed for while he was laying there because he didn't know where he was. He was incoherent and everything like that. We try and tell people this heat out here in Las Vegas is no joke.
Yeah.
Don't get out here drinking, especially all you people out here drinking 211 and shit. Y'all quit drinking that shit and figure you're going to walk down Tropicana and this, that, and the other and all that. You're going to burst into flames and everything, or you're going to explode because this heat out here is no joke. This is why they have heat alerts and make sure that your grandparents got water and that their air is working and things like that. Las Vegas is no joke when it comes to the heat. You know what I'm saying? So I like to thank Jess Lachey. Y'all make sure y'all hit her up, Lachey Duckworth, on Facebook. Like I said, fellas, don't send her no dick pics. Just hit
Please
her up
don't.
And understand and pay homage to a supermom. Everybody knows G-Spot. Everybody knows Gina and everything on Facebook. You know what I mean? Y'all hit her up and y'all pay homage, you know what I'm saying, to these supermoms, all right? So we're going to be right back to close out the show. And
do
our shout outs, and y'all just think about that for a minute. You know what I'm saying? All right. Yeah, move, bitch. Get the fuck on out the way. All right, we're back. All right, we're back with our shout-outs and everything. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Move the fuck out the way. Get the fuck out the way, shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So G-Spot, who are you shouting out today?
Marcus Pittman, number 70 of the Arizona Rattlers. The Arizona Rattlers won the Arena Bowl yesterday in Cleveland.
Oh,
they won 72. too. So number 70, Marcus Pittman, congratulations to all the Arizona Rattlers. You guys did an awesome job. They killed Cleveland, killed them. So big shout out to them. I wanted to shout out to my girl Jackie and her nephew Jason, who's out at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. I spent Wednesday with them. We went on the high roller. We hung out. We had a few drinks. It was a lot of fun, so I just wanted to shout them both out. And, of course, to you, Batman, big shout out to you. I'm glad that you are recovering. You've been a little under the weather. You've had some knee problems, so I just wanted to shout you out and hope and pray that you recover fully from your knee pain and that you get back on your feet, because we got a lot of shit we got to do coming up, and
yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, well, I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I'm better than ever. I'm feeling good. My home workouts are paying off and things like that, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to shout out everybody, you know, that's been supportive on what's been going on and everything like that, you know what I'm saying? I've been dealing with a lot of people, stuff like that, a lot of stuff is really irrelevant and everything, but when you got people and got good friends in your life and stuff like that, that's not going to let you go down, not going to let you stay down, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that, you can't do nothing but get up and wipe your knees off and keep on going, tie your shoelaces a little bit tighter than you did the day before and keep it moving. So, yeah, me, you know, I'm in my house. I'm doing push-ups like a motherfucker in jail and shit like that there. You know what I'm saying? I'm keeping my mind occupied and stuff like that. Going through stuff hurts, but it's good when you need to talk about it and reveal it. Don't harbor it. Don't hold it. Let it go, because it'll eat you alive. Trust me, I know. It'll eat you alive.
Right.
And a lot of times, and this is something that Gina told me, a lot of times we may look at others, we may look at significant others and things like that and think, wow, you know, when we split up or whatever, they went and they started whatever, and they're living the life, or you look at people that looks like that they're getting everything handed to them on a silver platter, and it's not that. Sometimes we need to realize the devil grants people their wishes too, just like the good Lord grants us our wishes and that we pray for. Devil does the same thing. Don't always look at everything as if it's a blessing from God. Usually it's not. They may look like they're having fun, or they may look like they're on top, and it seems like the people who scuffle, we always stay scuffling. We're scuffling for a reason, because sometimes things that's handed to you is not all that glitters, and everything that glitters is not gold. So
right.
if I can learn that from friends and others, then our Pillow Talk audience and everybody that knows G-Spot, everybody that knows Fat Man, can learn the same thing also. So use me as
right.
an example. You know, use me as an example. You know what I'm saying? I, that's why we do this show. We tell the truth. We share our lives with you all. We share our lives every Sunday around the world, because we are heard in third world countries and everything. We are heard in Jerusalem. We are heard over in Germany. We are heard in London. A lot of people hear us. And we have to be careful of what we speak, because what you speak, it will travel.
Yeah.
No,
you know,
we're going to get up out of here.
I want to say one more thing. Just remember, you get what you give to this world. So if you give jealousy and hatred and envy and all that bullshit and drama and you're just wanting what everybody else has, and you're acting a fool, and you're, you know, living life on the edge of your seat because you just think it's so fun, just remember, you get what you give to this world. So you hurt people, you damage people, you humiliate people, you do wrong by people, sooner or later, karma's a bitch and it'll come back around and get you.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna
just
bite
remember, you.
You
get what you give.
Okay. I'm going to give you a quick scenario of karma. Ex-wife, writing bad checks, called me a week ago. Got 10 fucking years in Oklahoma fucking jail. My ex-wife, On that note, I'm getting the fuck up out of here because I told her karma is a bitch. We out of here, y'all. See y'all next week.
Peace.
If you hatin', you just need some pussy. She fucked up when she gave me some pussy. Say I fuck you better than that other nigga. She say, tune, I'm about to come. I say, I'm coming with you. And she don't like them pretty niggas. So did a nigga. She ride his dick, her titties jiggle. That's my pillows. That's because I sleep in that hoe. Hit it when I wake up, tell the pigs I say, assalamu alaikum. My bitch a choose it. Lover never fuck without a rubber. Sweet yellow bone thing, I call her honey mustard. Pussy like a seashell, dick like a V12. She say I drive her crazy, I say just keep on your seatbelt. Bend it over, bust it open for me. Baby, bend it over, bust it open for me.